And then depending on what happens, because, you know, we have an agenda, but it's always an interruptible agenda. But if things go according to plan, we are going to have an interactive session following Pastor Brian's time. And then lunch and a couple sessions this afternoon, give folks a couple of hours to go lay before the Lord prior to the VIP reception tonight. Bishop, it's just such a joy to have you and all the brothers here in the USA. I've experienced Maasai hospitality, and I have to tell you right now, I'm missing the goat, and I'm missing the beef, and I'm especially missing the chapatis. But American chapatis never measure up, so we wouldn't even try to do that. But Bishop here.
Mayu nala yang kata.
Bishop is saying it's not going to take a long time.
Kage ayu wagenai sangkai tana te degenya.
But this morning I want to give honor to God.
Na ore el enti nikiti enne.
Our presence today here.
Engkai yake.
It is just because of God.
Ne yu no tengkai.
It is the will of God.
Na kera wagenkai kunna.
And God had prepared this day.
Ore namu mara yang kata na limunye shageni shuai enara solai turiani. Kage aiwa kena jung guti tokiti nare tengkopo or Maasai.
But I want to say some few things what God is doing in Maasai land.
Ah me limuno inaji ke limunio merado yonkolong.
Because maybe you can say everything I think is too long.
Amke aseranga into greeting sabukin.
Because God is doing mighty things over there.
Ore Maasai.
The people of Maasai.
Na ore larin kumoko shomona me yunin tene irukangai.
Many years in the past they do not want to believe in God.
Luana goto ninin te mate.
There were people who were staying alone.
Iluana lakora pala rinkumoko shomona kiar ninja pokinga yota ngishu.
Many years there were people who were, many times they were war, people who likes war fighting.
Whatever ningon ninja lungani yota ngishu ne dumen jure ne puar.
When they heard that somebody has got cows, they'll go and take those cows by force.
Ne rimbaga la lashara lenye.
And they could kill even their own brothers because of cows.
Ne aku kuri pa kitu ngani na ketema jengoru na ego beshinda ba ya ngishu.
So every person wanted to get an opportunity of taking some cows.
Ne to niaba ninte ti lotao.
They were staying alone in that spirit.
Ne jitenga.
So there were people who were separated.
Ne altunga na ko joke gol.
They believed they were very strong.
Lungana ko joke pia party na ko be Kenya.
They believed they were all like people.
Ne lungana ko to na ninje mate.
So they used to stay alone.
Na re ne dollo il missionary se bonu ali kyoro lanka ina me yew.
When missionaries came for the first time to preach the word of God in Maasailand, they could chase them away.
Ka ko 1985.
But in the year 1985,
ne teru walaitu ni airurir Maasai.
God started speaking to the people of Maasai.
Ni teru anka yairurir Maasai. Ne nyevaya nikitwa.
But the elders could not want to hear anything about the word of God.
Kakori nkera kutitik.
But the young children.
Ni teru ninta ni ajo kisi dai ke ore kawai dengere yang ngamuni nyevo kitungan.
They started believing in God, young children.
Ne agore lungana likiara tengkopor Maasai oite rutua kanisa.
So the first people to start churches in Maasai.
Na nkera kutitik.
They were young children.
Ondomono.
With mothers.
Kake nepulawa ninte apa ashare. Kage ga shanga yana she oleng tere sharani gidirara amo iruri yanga irma sai iruri yanga irma sai to murwa bogin
god has saved the masses from different areas
nigi to duanka ya gidai belegen irma sai
and we have seen god changing the people of the masai
kajo gore teri siori a wala la shalang reverend moses ikayo ni nyor bodora langa na team bogin
is the eldest among this team
ne ra ninye enyuara na ronyua mu kekolong ur Maasai ni dai keon allo alak KBC radio orma tangutoka ur Maasai da Nairobi.
He himself, he normally plays a certain radio in Kenya to preach the word of God in Maasai language
amu erodwa na ke toitur Maasai lugunyoling
because he realized Maasai are people who are very difficult to believe
ne miringi shwenya nak nemirin tarenya nak nela credio Peiro tangu toka ormasai pingura tana kini ningi masai tena bologi radio. Tolarin artamra rale udumenye. Mere mebaya romo tangu toka ormasai lo irukanga yana ninye lila risuri enye. Kore nanu te muruwa na ti na nanu wako peny te loke shinalo longa. Neato le masaya na karapongori.
Bishop was the first one to believe the word of God in his area and the master chased him away.
Kore kolo kumoko otie ne na ngera wako tete na kere rurie ngera ninche.
All these ones you are seeing here including me, he is the one who told us the word of God for those years.
Neako erbulu tarara neako rupaya ni ninche. Neato le rupaya ni ajo kweli ke idima ibe iruki ankai ne idima koltunga ni ataramati chesidai. Uri na mu maata nkata na limunye po kitoki.
Because I don't have the time maybe to say everything.
Uri da nangara da naro narani December eldari abodu lusoye.
In the year 2 in December.
Niki arabentu mo sapo ko leng te we ne jingilongo sineri gani sanara jina norbastai.
We had a very big meeting in
Son Church. Na inaruma bana sorie rawja loroba ya niki tua alang intu muri jimpo gana ro shogi dango. Never knew by Yanikituak, neither white, the way Ruganga, by Yanikituak will link.
So we got many elders coming to believe the word of God.
Neither Shetor Pere Rai Roman, Rolega, Nishua, Yogu, to Ama Banga Yangai.
And all the elders stood in the altar to call upon others to come and believe the word of God. Nikin Togiabu
Nanabatumo, na Etwin team, Nangu America.
We had the other meeting last year in
Akas,
we had a
people
from America.
Nagara.
Iteru
twanda munoror ba yaniki tuwa lengo por masai ai belegenya ni lolu nan chere kere nga yamba ni juk na grass tango por masai ne kwa yuwa kendo kjin na rau ni tola la shara lang lengo pi America ashole ndangara gola la shalang ken nyakundi. Gore den kitiri sharani ginororo Kennedy ne rasi ni jere roro. Nen kitu kujara ninye enyebegi yetuwe yoke ni.
He is the one who has encouraged us and supported us to come to this conference.
Kake ayu nalikinda nchere aelewa masai na yolo neti na kayolo nchere kelenga yase mbaya sabote niki mbongo ondai. Nekwa ye undokiti nara uniyake enkomono inyi.
So,
na yewe nkitu kujara inyi peke mbonga renebo. Beg saruna na kira nga ya asta nga wapa ormasa ife itabaya nga ya nyora denye. Nekuro pasta ipo kina bano loti yanko vya
America.
Kaidi makaro mono vya yegi mponga ari di loshol ormasa ya shwa tiyadu loshole Kenya. Pe idim sini nje aile wara yule sivarana tiyadu wala yuri ya ni Yesu. Nago na you see na ita shi yake kula isotwa kmita shake penyo enda shake duo penyo tene winiti enda shake duo kayuwa kena shondra enkanyit kayuwa kena shondra enyoratai
with my love
wori na anisa
before this church
okuloba stanyo yetu ni
and our pastors were here
wori bidamu ne nwara na kata kula rungana ka mukayulo nanu
if you can know where this will come from
Kenya malingishwe nyamu kegirae. Kenya male ngope nyemi ngwaru ya mwiketi wala meyuling. Nito duwaro honga seti ni nito duwaro yon TV ni. Kakore rankara kiyankarna wala ituri ya ni Yesu. Nito mame raba uwe nakop. Ame urisho amwiketi yanka hidi eneti eni. Kore si yanka itugi yarena isho marudumu ninche. Mero bolitwe enyok amiri ndare nyanak ne mirengite ngenye peidi magine nyaya kikishi ate jo erabawe ne denebo Kennedy. Negwi sida iti niyaro la ito ye niyaro la tao. Amindi marase ntoki na yagi yanga yengi sisa. Nyako ashena lengi merama yanandaya yanga hii.
So
ashena leng. Asholing olalasha lang Kennedy. Ki podogoya de nebo ki boita. Yarani nyol chorela ngui toko jayu figunu anako. Na ore muni nyeni taadu ondai vogil chorela lang. Ora loita dipina ka jokore na pa team vogin na ngwa US na etu and crusade August. Pastor Mario,
Pastor Lily,
Pastor Glenn,
Dr. Jerry Kenner,
now in Orkulega Kumo, Mayulu Najana Kunaganda,
and
Yorata, Itenia Bor Masai. Kayewa Kena, I need to roll and team Nadia and Rana Confess. Nashonda again, Yoradele Lomasa, Miriutua. Nita Mayanala Lomasai. Niki jokidiana anisa mbegata maji na ngai Pastor Glenn. Senebole loko lega ile metieni. Kindo omo ni ndaito lo sholo armasa. Na mera maji na ndaya ngai tukul. Ni shondra empiri senye. Kitiene kito ninge sidano kitiang. Me shondra ngai ya maji na ra. Amen. Amen.
Bless you. God bless you. Well, good morning, everybody. We're so glad to see all of you this morning. And we had a great day yesterday talking about the 21st century church. Dr. Gary Kellner and Earl Thornton took the morning yesterday highlighting all of our challenges. And thank God Pastor Brian came yesterday to give us a little faith. And we had a great day. I want to welcome a few friends that weren't with us yesterday that are with us today. Pastor Bill Gestel from Presbyterian Church of Old Greenwich. God bless you, Bill. It's so great to see you. And my good friend David Hernquist from Bronx, New York. David, how many services are you running now on Saturdays and Sundays? How many worship services? Yeah, just five on Sunday. Don't, and Friday night. Yeah, only five on Sunday. So, you know, David, if you worked harder, maybe something would happen down there. Bless you, David. It's so good to see you. We wore out the Saints last night. We took a group down to Manhattan and spent some time running around Times Square and Broadway. And so the Saints are dragging in this morning. But we're glad you're here. And Brian Simmons got us started yesterday talking about seven pillars of wisdom. And we only got two built, and we spent the night propped up. And so now we're going to get the other five. And we're looking forward to a great word. Brian, would you please come? It's a great joy to have you and Candace today. Bless you. Bless you.
I wish I could have been with you at Lion King last night. How was it? Hakuna Matata, huh? Well, this is the morning report, and I want to bring you good news from the high place. Jesus Christ lives and reigns on planet Earth. He is the Lord and King of the Maasai land, and He is the Lord of America. He's the King. He is the coming King. He's the reigning King. It's just that a lot of us haven't figured it out yet. We haven't connected the dots. But Christ Jesus lives in power in His church. We believe in the triumphant church. God is not going to birth in the upper room this one new man of Jew and Gentile, put His Holy Spirit within them, give them the written revelation of the Word of God and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the truths of revelation light, and then let us fail. God never sends you to do a job. He never sends you forth to fail. Never. God will only send you to accomplish that which He releases you to accomplish. The word that comes from His mouth is not going to return to Him void. And if you have ears to hear me today, you are a word sent from the mouth of God into this world. You are not going to return to Him void. You're going to accomplish everything God has called you to accomplish. The Greek word for chose, He chose us in Him. Ephesians 1:4, forget Calvinism, just receive the Bible. It says we've been chosen. The Greek word is eklegomai. In the middle of that word is logos, a form of the word logos. What is the logos? It is the word, isn't it? The word is the logos. Well, the Bible says that God called you out of the word to be a word. That's literally what that eklegomai could symbolize, that God formed you as a word from his mouth. He breathed into you the breath of life, and you have become a word of God on this world, in this earth. How does it feel to be a word sent from his mouth that will not return to him void? So the word of Christ dwells in us richly, and I want to teach and admonish us today by the grace of our Lord Jesus. So would you stand first of all, and on this bright, sunny fall morning, I just want us to receive deep down inside of our spirit man, deep inside of us where Christ dwells, I want us to receive a truth in the inward parts. David says, I desire truth in the inward parts. So Lord, we ask that truth would settle into our hearts today, that we would not simply come, Lord, to get clever thoughts and ideas and three-point sermons, but God, we would come today to hear truth, to receive it, to buy the truth and sell it not, and to become a people filled with the Word and the Spirit. So touch us deeply tonight, today. Fill us, Lord. Touch us tonight too, but this morning, fill us with your Holy Spirit and with the truth of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can have a seat. Quickly to review yesterday, as you remember, I shared with you that my thoughts here on this conference to share is that wisdom is building a house. God's wisdom, the uncreated wisdom, Proverbs 8 wisdom that existed long before I did and you did, that wisdom is now on the earth building the house. And it is built upon seven pillars. And of course, the James 3 picture of the wisdom from above, first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to take correction, etc. Those seven pillars are given to us there in James 3. But I want to take the principles of pillars and apply it, wisdom pillars, that will help build a leadership team and leadership structures and to release, if you'd allow me to say it, the apostolic church of the next generation. The 21st century will be noted as the greatest expansion of the kingdom of God on the earth. The church is not shrinking worldwide. Let me just break a myth here for the Westerners that may be among us. The fastest growing religion on earth is not Islam. It is the Church of Jesus Christ expanding into all the corners of the world. There are more people coming to Christ, becoming Christians on the earth today than ever before. This is the greatest days of expanding of the kingdom. We know that the path of the just is like a shining light that'll shine more and more to a perfect day. One sure test that God is up to something is when what he does doesn't shrink or shrivel. What man does always devolves. What God does always increases. And he saves the best wine for last. So the closing days of the church age is going to be characterized by an apostolic expansion of a dynamic church that will not rest in accomplishments of the past, revelations of the past, the traditions of the past, but will move forth. The kingdom horizons and parameters will be enlarged and increased in the coming days. Pioneers of faith are rising in the nations. Breakers sent by God are coming to break open the way, Micah 2:13, and the Lord himself will go before us. There's a great expanding kingdom that fills my heart as I stand before you today, and I'm sure you're encouraged to know those things as well. So we shared the first two pillars. Do you remember what it was? The transformation of the church. The church being transformed by a passion-filled people. And the second was the model of spiritual parenting, of sons and daughters being raised up in our household. Abraham went to war with 318 trained servants in his own household. And I believe God is into tribes, and God is into people groups, and God is into families. God is not into networks. God is not into the good old boys club. God is not into, Amway models of ministry. He's into parenting. The third pillar of faith for the coming day of glory and revival and awakening and kingdom expansion is the church. The apostolic church will touch the poor and the broken. To touch the poor and the broken. God heals the brokenhearted. He bandages their wounds. Psalm 147, verse 3. The apostle Paul says, I was a constant example to you. Notice how he was a constant example in helping the poor. For I remembered the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That is not an offering verse. That is a verse for the ministry to the poor. It's more blessed to give to the poor than to receive. There is a passion that will fill this justice movement on the earth. A justice movement is being birthed in this generation. If you watch American television, every other show is Judge Judy, Judge Frankie, Judge Sammy, Judge Bubba, Judge everybody. Everybody's into, then I turned on Fox News and it was Kelly's court and it's courts. And if you look today on the newscast or read the papers, it's going to be courtrooms and judges and justice is a theme that goes through our culture. And God is inflaming that so that we begin to rise up and care for the disenfranchised, the poor and the broken. And it can no longer just be the cause of the liberal church. It must be the cause of every believer, every leader, every passion-filled, God-ordained, sent leader in the coming days is going to weep for the poor and the needy and the broken and the devastated. My wife and I have had some good talks lately. She dreams four dreams every night, by the way. She's a dreamer like you wouldn't believe. And she's a dream come true for me as well. But she's just been dreaming so many dreams lately of how it feels to be poor and how it feels to be homeless, how it must feel for the those that are in Maasai land that are devastated and broken by this drought and by the climate and the economy, perhaps there in your land, the pain that fills a mother's heart in trying to feed children and the angst of a dad that gets up in a day and tries to eke out a living for his dear family, and how oppressive poverty and pain and being broken and devastated. And I think we just haven't tasted that in our insulated cocoons of Christianity, churchianity in America. But God is going to put in the heart of apostolic men and women a desire to touch the poor. Paul says, don't you remember how when I was among you, I was an example of caring for the poor? And I can't help but think it's the path to blessing. People want to know, how do you get promotion in the kingdom? Where does favor and honor come from? It comes from laying your life down for the poor. Didn't our whole movement begin with one who left heaven? And it was said of this one in Philippians 2, he did not consider this glorious realm something he had to cling to and grasp, but he let go. He let go so much that his fist let go of the scepter of ruling the universe to take a nail in the place of a scepter. And that king was born. You know the story. The nativity and how he was born and the societal climate in which he was raised and where he grew up in a forgotten place called Nazareth and just all the prejudice, of illegitimacy that was marking him from his birth and the carpenter's son and all of the stuff. He went to Africa, by the way. Well, that's another story. But our whole movement is about one who said these words, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. That's the evangelist. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. That's the teacher. And recovery of sight for the blind. That's the prophet. to release the oppressed. That's the pastor. And to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's the apostle. So as the King of glory, Jesus lived and died for the cause of the poor. Your leadership, anointing, and gift is about to be measured by how much you care for the most hurting that are around you. Not by how many come to hear you, but by how many needs are met through you. And may the Lord make you and me, may He make me, my wife and I, and you, and your churches, and your family, may He make us truly apostolic, because we're building the house of the kingdom of God with the pillar that we will leave the 90 and 9 if need be, and we'll search out and seek for the poor and the needy among us and make sure that they are filled. I'm telling you, to care for widows is the task of the church. One of the great leaders of Ghana, spiritual leader there, champion of the nation, and he took us to, what did he call it? Not the old ladies ministry. He had a funny term for it. Anyway, he took us over to this room about the size of this one, and it was full of hundreds of abandoned, widowed women. And they were intercessors, and he fed every single one of them 3 times a day. And I was so moved by what he was doing for the widows of Africa that we gave him a van. We took an offering there at our church and bought a van and shipped it down. We actually loaded it full of computers and clothes, and we could do medical supplies, which you probably couldn't do in our litigious society, but we stuffed it with antibiotics and all kinds of medical supplies, bandages, etc. I mean, it was a huge van. And when I was there, the television crews came out and took a picture of us giving them the keys of that van so that their widows could be transported to the doctors and to different places that would benefit them. It was an honor for us to help his ministry with the widows. My wife and I are very passionate about orphans. And the Lord spoke to us a few years ago and said, every nation you go to, I'm going to burden you to start orphanages. And we've been able to start orphanages in India, a few of them, and of course the Philippines, and one or two in Africa, and Ukraine, and where else? Colombia. And many of those are being funded 100% through our ministry, or our former ministry, Gateway, as we send tens and tens of thousands of dollars a month to care for orphans. It's so important that we do so. I'm telling you, the blessing comes when you care for the poor. Can I get a good amen? Because all of us are more poor than we realize. The Bible calls the poor the ones that are rich in faith. And we minister to the poor because of what it will do for them and what it will do for us and how it will move God's heart. The fourth apostolic mandate, the fourth pillar that I believe will distinguish the church of the 21st century, is that we will be planting churches. A church planting among the nations. Every church in America needs to adopt a nation and to plant churches in that nation. There must be the spirit of adoption that flows from the Western church to the emerging church of the nations. There must be that connection in the spirit. And I know just by looking at you, beautiful Kenyans, that you are longing for that partnership. You are longing and craving for the parenting and the love and the affirmation. And we will take those three requests that you gave us, Bishop, and we want to see our churches and this movement here in Connecticut and beyond to adopt and pray and encourage and even come as we're able and bring what we carry and take it to your beautiful people. We are truly one in Jesus Christ. And to plant churches, who can plant churches better than the Maasai, what is it, Ma people? You are capable. You just need the tools and the equipping. Do you have training centers in your land? You need training centers with spirit-filled teachers of the Word of God that will empower and equip and raise you up and send you forth. You really don't need a whole lot, to be honest. But that's a burden I have. I'd like to see a apostolic resource center birthed in Kenya and multiple churches and pastors and bishops sending their people, even you yourselves getting extended education in the Word of God, and you get full of what God wants to do in your land, and then just sticks of dynamite, you just go and explode all over your nation. And we see a great church planting movement begin. God is into church a lot more than we are at times. I'm telling you, he really is. You know, Jesus didn't die for the kingdom. He died for the church. Doesn't win me any points with a lot of my friends, but I've been contending with Dr. Peter Wagner and some of the leaders that I associate with. I've been contending with them that the reality of the kingdom needs a little shift here. That the church, somehow the church gets swept under the carpet in this. We got to spin a miracle and we got to touch heaven and we got to do all these things. No, we got to plant churches. And I'll tell you where, I'm getting ahead of myself, but where you'll really see the most power released, the power of miracles released, is when you start churches. And you birth a move of God and a work of God. Is that my next point? It is. Well, it's come. I'll make it my next point. Let's go to the next point. What is that? Number five? Oh. I tell you what will pull me to Kenya. Cause I get, you know, I've got a schedule like everybody and requests like everybody. But what will pull me to your nation would be the thought of birthing not a traditional Bible college, you know, but to birth a training center. A residential training center that will get some help perhaps from you all and from us all, and we partner, and there's some kind of Pastor Glenn and Brother Gary, I mean, you've got some of the most exceptional leaders right here in this room that could come down and impart. Pastor Mario and James Lilly he's a revival on two legs. I mean, you just send him down there and something's going to explode. I don't know where he went to, but you tell him I'm bragging on him here today. But, you know, and we just kind of open up the pipe and the spigot, and we start sending prophets and teachers and leaders and men and women of God that will feed the women, because the church is not just men. The women of God need to be loved by a mother. They need to be fed and taught. Wait until my wife begins to release the spirit of revelation over you with dreams and visions. I'm telling you, heaven could pour into your land. We've got to break the curse off of Maasai land. We've got to break the curse of drought and barrenness. I see a worship gathering, a 3-day extravaganza of worship breaking loose in your land. I see a season where you will be caught up worshiping the God of glory. And God will answer that 3-day season with an outpouring like you've never seen. Sing, O barren woman, break forth in song. Wherever there is barrenness and drought, worship is what breaks it. What made David's wife barren? As she looked out the window watching David dance with his passion. What was it? It was her criticism. It was the lack. It was disgust. She was disgusted with worship. But I'm telling you, David is a worshiper. And he broke that curse. And if Maasai people will, if you will worship, I'm telling you, you got it. The drums. You get the drums going, you know, and you get your instruments going. Make it native. Don't bring Western stuff. You just, it's who you are coming right out of your heart. You watch the heavens open up. Worship will unlock the heavens for your nation. So we'll talk. But I really think You know, I just want to sow a seed. I gave the bishop a case of my books, and I've asked that you make sure each one of the pastors that's here, I'm sure there's enough for each one to take one. I've got assorted titles, but whatever, each one pick one, and whatever's left, please give to Pastor Glenn or Gary, and they can do with them what they want. But I want to sow into this coming move of God in your nation. Is that okay? So thank you. We love you. All right. The fifth point, and I'm kind of edging into this now. Signs and wonders and miracles. I'm going to get controversial, edgy, because that's my middle name. God spoke to me one time and said, Brian, I never called you to play it safe. I've risked my life a few times for the gospel. And I'm not in risk of my life in saying these things, but I am a risk taker. And I think men and women of faith are not going to live in the status quo of spiritual plateaus. You know, we've got to have a new revelation and a new vision of what God is doing. And as one who has worked in the tribes with people, my wife and I was a tribal consultant with a lot of tribes in South America, lived many years in the jungle, no running water, no flush toilets, no electricity, where a lot of you have lived. And there, we saw more of the miraculous and supernatural realm than I've ever seen in my life. A few times we've been to India. We've had crusades of 30, 40, 50,000 in India. We've seen miracles like you cannot believe. Recently in Africa, we took a dentist from our church, and the first five people, this wonderful Naugatuck dentist, went and prayed over five blind people. Every single one of their blind eyes opened, and to this day he is wrecked. To this very day, he cannot talk about it without weeping. How God used him. I mean, so the word got out on our team, and then everybody started lining up behind, in front of him, because they wanted this dentist to pray over them. I don't know if their fillings got healed, but their teeth got healed, but he just had a grace upon him. And by the way, God is a supernatural God. He is transcendent in every way. And our theology must make room for a God who's never ceased being who he is. It's his nature to heal. That's why he gave an immune system to every one of us. If God doesn't want you healed, why did he give you an immune system? He wants every single human being to be healed of their sickness. And by the fall, of course, we could go theologically into the truths of healing. But the point is, there's a passion in God's heart. Look, if I care, if I'm a broken, weak, stupid, dorky human being, and I care about people when they're sick, or my kids are sick, or my wife is sick, if I care about that, I'm a fallen human being, how much more would God care in compassion as a father pities those that he's formed? So he has loving kindness. And I believe wrapped into that love of God is the ability and grace to heal and to do wonders for us. There must be a generation that will topple the four horns of Zechariah. The craftsmen are coming, and they're going to come with the authority and power. They're going to come with the authority and power to release great and marvelous miracles. I'm just so committed and burning with this in my heart that there must be more. There must be more. As a good Baptist boy, I was ordained in that and baptized Baptist and grew up, from my Christian days, at least. I converted at 20 and was discipled by a pretty hardcore Baptist group. And along the way, my heart just yearned for more. And I know that there's signs and wonders and miracles. And, I don't know how far to go with this and how hungry you are, but there are stories, a contemporary modern day stories of miracles that are taking place right now. God is at work in the nations. They may not all get on TBN or God TV or CNN, constantly negative news, but they're going to be heard in other ways, and they're going to be written about. I've just heard tremendous stories that are happening in Iraq and visitations of God. While we were in the jungle, the Lord visited us in powerful ways. Audible voice of God spoke to me one morning, 5 a.m, up as I was praying early in the morning. We've seen dramatic things. I would have supernatural dreams for the first time, perhaps, there in the jungle, and the Lord would give me clear instructions of who to speak to, what I was to say, what village to go to, what hut to walk into, who I would encounter, and what I was to tell them. One day I decided I would do it. So after that dream, I got up that morning. I took a walk, almost a day's journey downriver, and went into the village, and I saw the hut. I saw the man standing right outside the hut as I walked up, just like it was in my dream. And I gave him the word the Lord spoke to me to give to him. And he immediately began to cry and weep. I said, eternity is real, and your life is short, and you need to come to know Jesus Christ, and I've come here today to tell you that. His wife was in the hut, in the dark corner of the hut, didn't know she was there. She came out trembling and weeping. And they both knelt there in the mud, in the dirt, outside their grass hut, and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, I never would have gone down there and found them if God hadn't given me a word, a revelation. Acts 2:17, the Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men will dream dreams because they take a lot of naps. And the young men will see visions. Even the daughters, the maidens, they will prophesy. And these days of God drawing near with the supernatural realm is upon us. I've decided to make my best friend the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. My two best friends. I want to make the Holy Spirit my best friend. And I want to be the best friend to the Holy Spirit, that we could partner and flow and walk together. And I want the Word of God to dwell in me richly. I don't want the Baptist word or the Pentecostal word or the crazymatic word or the Lutheran. I want God's word in my heart. I want the Holy Spirit, who inspired the word, to inspire me to walk it out and to live it. Not just the convenient verses that Paul wrote, but I want every single passage, every single reality that's there, even the ones that are way over my head, and I haven't even come close to figuring it out yet. But I want the Word and the Spirit. How about you? Don't you? The Word and the Spirit. We must have God on the scene. Connecticut, you have a history, and not only a history of the supernatural, but you have a destiny for the supernatural. This great state has been visited by God more than once. And if you read the unsanitized, unedited, not the Cliff Notes, but the unedited accounts of Jonathan Edwards and some of the awakeners of the past, you will be startled to see some of the supernatural realm that was operating and flowing through their ministries. If you can wade through it. Wow, is it hard reading, but it's there. You guys still okay? All right, let me give you the sixth. We must release the spirit of revelation. Now, let me elaborate on this because I don't want to be misunderstood. This generation, whether it's Western or African, this rising generation is not going to be moved by yesterday's revelation. They must receive what God is saying now. We must hear what the Spirit is saying today to the church. Dios habla hoy. God speaks today. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And too often, the Western Church has lived by the word that preceded us. But it's the proceeding word, not just the preceding word. And again, I'm wading into some realities here that I hope you can embrace. But God has things He wants to share with His church on the earth today. He wants to bring a wind of creativity to the nations. He wants Masa land to have creative agricultural breakthroughs. He wants you to have dramatic economic breakthroughs that would include witty inventions and clever strategies to make more from less. And God is going to give those understandings to you as we ask. The Bible says if we lack wisdom, we ask God, James 1:5, and he will give liberally to us what we ask for. I'm just convinced that the generation upon us, before us today must have this Holy Spirit of revelation flowing in the house. Can I illustrate? Jesus, in the book of Revelation, is seen walking among what seven pieces of furniture? Remember? The candlesticks. The lampstand. The lampstand has to be brought to the church. The church is the lampstand. We're a light set on a hill. We are the light of the world. The lampstand. Jesus walks among the lampstand. Have you ever studied the lampstand? What it is? I'm just trying to give you an illustration of how the spirit of revelation can begin to illuminate us. The lampstand has seven branches, right? Okay, seven branches. And how many, Isaiah 11 verse 1 and 2 and 3 says the sevenfold spirit of the Lord. It's that he's the branch that comes up from David's cut off stump. There is coming a twig, a sprout, and he's now going to be called the branch. And then it immediately goes into these seven spirits, seven anointings, spirit of prophecy, spirit of the Lord, etc. I believe that's the lampstand. Each branch, by the way, it was all made out of gold, right? It's a golden lampstand. The worth of that in today's gold values, gold prices would be spectacular. But the each branch had three on each side with a central shaft. One central shaft, one central branch, three branches on each side. Okay, let's take the side branches. Each branch, according to Exodus and elsewhere in the Old Testament, in the Torah, each branch had engraved on that branch three stages of fruit bearing. Three stages. It had a bud, and then a blossom, and then the maturing fruit. And engraved into that branch, bud, blossom, fruit. Bud, blossom, fruit. Bud, blossom, fruit. Three stages, three times. Three times three is nine fruit of the Spirit. Each branch, nine stages of fruit bearing. God wants us to be fruitful branches. I am the vine, you are the branches. We are that lampstand. The central shaft, okay, if that's true with the six side shafts, six times nine equals 54. A little early, I know. Okay, 54. So we're talking about the lampstand. Six side branches, engraved in each branch, fruit. We are a fruitful branch, aren't we? Joseph's fruitful branch. Okay, so 6 times 9 would mean there was 54 revelations of fruit there on that lampstand without the central shaft. The central shaft or branch, however, rabbis tell us that that was a hollow shaft and the oil was poured into the central shaft and then it would come up to the other branches. How many of you know that Jesus is anointed above all his brethren? That there is one that stands above them all. There is one anointed with the sevenfold spirit. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that branch had four representations. It was bud, blossom, fruit, four sequences. So four times it was bud, blossom, fruit, bud, blossom, fruit, bud, blossom, fruit, bud, blossom, fruit. Four times three is 12. 12 is the apostolic governmental anointed number in the Bible. 12 tribes, 12 sons of Israel, 12 apostles. So Jesus is that great apostle of the church. Okay, so if you have 54 fruit on the side branches and then you have 12 on the central shaft, 54 plus 12 equals 66 books of the Bible. Thy word is a lampstand unto my feet and a light under my path. The revelation of the Holy Spirit is to shine through the church. And I just feel like there's a wisdom that has been hidden, according to the Apostle Paul, reading from 1 Corinthians 2. We apostles speak God's secret wisdom, he says, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. There is a wisdom that is destined for our glory. And that spirit of wisdom and revelation must flow in the church. I think the winds of creativity are going to blow through the bride of Christ with gale force power. We're going to see fantastic understandings of long ago scriptures that we thought we had figured out. You know, just salvation. You know, just how many of you think we got salvation figured out? Trick question, so don't raise your hand. We don't really understand salvation fully yet. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:5 that there is a ready to be revealed salvation that hasn't even been revealed yet, but it's ready to be revealed at the last Kairos days, the end times. The Bible says there's an end time revelation of salvation that's going to come, hidden there in 1 Peter 1:5, and we don't even see it. There's so much infinitely more God wants to give us. Am I preaching to the choir? I sure hope so, guys. I hope that you are passionate for these things. The seventh pillar of wisdom that will be a feature of the last days apostolic church of the 21st century is that we will establish kingdom authority and restore all things. There must be a restoration. There must be a restoration movement. Another great reformation has to take place. Our churches need it. Our wineskins and structures need it. Our models of ministry are so often antiquated and obsolete. And God is wanting downloads and heavenly understanding to come to us, to upgrade us, to bring us to new levels, to begin to send us out as reformers of our culture and restorers of streets with dwellings, an Isaiah 58 company that will literally be a well-watered garden that refreshes, renews, and restores all things. You're familiar with Acts 3. In verse 21, I'm just pulling a verse out of Acts 3. It says, Jesus must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore all things, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. There is a passion in God's heart to restore. I think of just even the Garden of Eden, you know. Who says Adam didn't? He had to tend a garden that was probably bigger than the nation of Iraq. I wouldn't be surprised that he could just be transported before he fell. That he literally would just move or fly or somehow. I would have a hard time tending a little tomato garden in the back of my yard. And he tended this entire zoological and botanical pristine garden. He was given the command to take care of all of it. I don't know how many animals you can name right now, but Adam gave names to every one of the animals with their subspecies, and every single one got names from Adam. You talk about brilliance, mental capacities. You talk about the ability to wisely administrate and orchestrate and govern and take dominion of the created order. Adam and Eve had that God-given capability. So when I'm talking about restoring all things, I mean restoring all things back even to what has been lost in the garden. Grace is about to much more abound. There's coming a day when the church will push back limitations. We will push back walls and barriers. We will leap over walls. We will jump over them. We'll be like branches that grow over walls full of fruit. There will be no limitations to a people with faith. And I want to, you know, I want to die a man of faith someday, 100 years from now. I want to die a man of faith, full of faith, not a little bit. I want to see more than what my wildest dreams could ever dream, and I'm a wild dreamer. So there's got to be a lot out there for us. Am I stretching you yet? It's my task here this morning, is to try to stretch you. I have a shoehorn in my back pocket. I'm going to try to help us out here. But there's got to be the stretching kingdom of God released. The plan of God is for the whole world to hear the gospel of the kingdom. A warring church is about to arise. No, we don't fight with placards and protests, and we don't fight with men of flesh and blood. Our warfare is not with human beings, but we are a warring church that's been called to finish the works of Jesus. An Acts 29 company. Jesus, the book of Acts is what Jesus began to do and to teach. And he's still doing and teaching through you and I today in the nations of the earth. The office of apostle will soon be restored. The generation called to finish the works of Jesus will arise until every tribe, tongue, and people on earth have been affected by the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus Christ is going to return someday, and not to get a sick, anemic, swine flu-ridden bride that is on her deathbed, comatose. He's coming back for a radiant bride who's made herself ready. She's prepared. She's trimmed her lamps. She's wearing the wedding garment of righteousness. She's going out to meet him, which means she's extending and expanding the kingdom of God. A victorious church will rise in the nations. That must be our message, beloved. We must be men and women of faith and conviction, leaders who lead people with inspiration into the new realm of what God is about to do. We are pioneers of hope that pull the future into the now. The inevitability of what God is going to do is seized in the hearts of those who have perceived it in the spirit, and they bring it to the earth now and release it. Forerunners, pioneers, spiritual entrepreneurs. Some of the greatest churches have never been built. Some of the greatest ministries have never been seen. Some of the most impacting kingdom businesses have yet to be incorporated. God is going to do some marvelous things. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord. And we must be a people with reformation in our hearts that are committed to reform our society. To reform, let's start with our churches. Matter of fact, let's start with our marriages. And let's become a model of Christ and his bride. And then let's start with our churches. And let's become a model of families with mothers and fathers and younger brothers and younger sisters and moms and dads, where we're treated with respect and honor and dignity is restored to every human being. We break prejudice once and for all, and we move into a new realm of agape. Then we can move into culture and society. We can see our workplace change. We can see our governments changed. I want to have a J party, not a tea party. I want a Jesus revelation that will so shake the world. I had a dream the other day about Cuba, and I saw a move of God so great and powerful shake the nation of Cuba, communist nation, that it literally overthrew the government in just a very short period of time. Whether that dream is a prophetic dream or not, I guess time will tell, won't it? Of course, I have my own convictions. But I believe God is about to overthrow some of the vile, corrupt government forms, whether it's Africa, whether it's Connecticut, whether it's the United States or Afghanistan or wherever it might be. God is still the Lord of the nations. And as the church rises to be a holy temple built on the seven pillars of the wisdom of God, and we will build kingdom enterprises, kingdom outposts, revelations of Christ, where he is everything. We no longer live lukewarm Laodicean lives that try to see what we can get away with. But we are those who are sold out, laid down lovers, abandoned absolutely to the purposes of God. He wants bondservants who will be His fully. Whenever man has a job to do, he will look for better tools and better methods. But whenever God has a task to do, He'll look for better men and better women. There is a great, mighty task of reformation ahead of us. And we must rise to a new level where we hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to the churches. We hear the fresh, new, proceeding word from His mouth. We hear His passionate heartbeat for the broken, the disenfranchised, the poor, the homeless. Do you not ache with me this morning over what's happened even yesterday in Indonesia and Samoa with these earthquakes? Only the grace of God, it didn't hit the mainland here. Hundreds, it may end up being thousands before it's over, perished, homeless. I read an account this morning, USA Today, tourist there in, I guess it was Samoa, in bed. The tsunami wave came from the ocean, buried them, drowned them. They didn't even get out of their beds. They found them and their bed. I'm telling you, I just think it's time that we get God's heart. Amen? Give us your heart, Lord. Give us your heart. Break us open, God, beyond repair. Bring us to a place before the cross where we will do anything for you. Touch us deeper, God. Not just our minds. We come to you in the Spirit. We ask that you break our hearts, God. Give us passion. The things we hear at this Waterworks conference, what we're going to hear yet today, let it penetrate and go beyond our defenses and the mechanisms we have within to insulate us from conviction. Holy Spirit, hear our cry right now when we say we want you, we love you, we need you. Take us into a new place this week. Help us to be wisdom builders, kingdom architects, leaders who have risen to the challenge, full of revelation, full of faith. This is the victory that overcomes our culture, even faith. So fill us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brian. Psalm 78 says that David led